Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Oh yeah, what's going on, DMV? You know who it is, youngest in charge movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan and always streaming live nationally on the always free Odyssey app. Ride with me. It'll take you up to 10 o'clock here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. Look, obviously there has been massive news that we had. We'll get to the Micah Parsons stuff. We'll talk about it all throughout the show here. But I'm going to give it a little bit. I know it's been like 90 minutes probably, an hour and a half maybe. I don't believe it's even real.
Not even.
I don't even believe it's real. We are watching. There's so many different ways to spin this.
You're so ready for this show.
I tore the rundown up.
You walked into this building fired up about it, and then you went over there across the hall with Doc, and now you can't even control yourself.
I literally still don't know if it's real or not.
For everyone listening right now, this dude was walking around the studio going, why would they do that? What are they doing? Why would they do that?
I feel like we're in a world where nothing currently makes sense.
Just chill. Life goes on, right? Life goes on.
I was going to say something that may have...
I know you can't chill.
I can't. If you're watching on the YouTube stream, I literally cannot stop moving my body. Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys pulling off, from my vantage point at least, and maybe I'm hyperbolizing it, you can let me know at 1-800-636-1067 to keep the convo going on social media. It is at NELL underscore BTP. This may go down as maybe one of the dumbest moves in the history of the National Football League. Micah Parsons, argue with somebody you care about. Argue with a loved one. This is the best non-quarterback in the entire sport in his prime. In his prime. And they traded him to the Green Bay Packers. You couldn't even get him out of the damn conference. You traded him to the Packers, who you play in week 4 on Sunday Night Football, by the way. Popcorn emoji, literally. Quote tweet it wherever you find it. Quote tweet it with a damn popcorn emoji. This is nuts. Nothing makes sense right now. Nothing makes sense right now. I'm going to try to get myself together as we roll throughout the program here tonight. We're going to talk about a lot. But we are going to hit on this Micah Parsons thing pretty hard. Because the more and more I think about it, like, there's nothing about it that makes sense. I don't know what's worse. The decision to trade him or the return that you got. Like, what's worse here?
Well, can I ask you a question?
Sure. I don't know if I'm going to have an answer. My brain feels like someone has, like, taken it out of my head and has put it on the concrete. It's just baking in the sun.
When they overpaid Dak and they paid CeeDee Lamb and they paid all these guys, was this not always the end result that was going to happen?
No, I didn't think he was that stupid. I'm going to call a spade a spade. In real time, and I'm not trying to make fun of anything, this is the... Lawrence Jones asking to talk about the Giants.
Last year, I kept saying Dallas will have to trade Micah Parsons.
This is the thing, because it's deeper than rap. As I'm gonna put it, have we ever witnessed a sports owner go senile on the job in real time? Like, that is what this is giving. He doesn't understand the magnitude of what he's doing.
So there's idiocy, and then there's being senile. That's what you claim right here.
I genuinely think like he's losing it up top. There's no way in hell. Who do you consult with? Like, when you go to Steven, because I know him and Steven Jones, this is one of them decisions where his son probably cussed him out. Imagine the ability, and we all have people that raise us out there. Imagine the ability to get to cuss them out. That's what Steven Jones should have been able to do tonight. And they're hosting a press conference tonight at, 9:30 Central Time? Now, I'm terrible with time zones. I just host radio. I don't worry about other things. We have to play that. We have to get audio of that at some point, whether it's today, tomorrow. This is going to go down as probably one of the dumbest trades in NFL history. But I know there are a lot of Cowboy fans out there that listen in here to the fan, even though we are a commander station, quote unquote, right? We all love the burgundy and gold here. If you are a Cowboys fan, I am begging you, please call me. 1-800-636-1067. Please call me. Because for years, right, we were the laughing stock of the National Football League, on the field, off the field, so on and so forth. Now it's the Cowboys. And I was actually saying it in the car because this is how it happened for me. I saw that Schefter put out that, okay, they're now open to listening to deals. But it's one of the things where it's like, I didn't think that Jerry would actually do it. You know what I'm saying? It's like a lot of you out there are in a relationship. Your loved one makes baseless threats all the time to you. It's just the way it goes in relationships. But you don't actually think that your loved one's going to, you know, go through it with the baseless threat. With Jerry, like, the way, how quickly that this is all soured to me. And I saw that. Ben just pulled it up for us. Michael Irvin, who has been first team all lunatic this offseason for some of the stuff that he said, and he's definitely lost his fastball. I don't know how credible Michael Irvin is, but he's a Super Bowl champion. You know what I'm saying? But damn, he guaranteed this earlier this afternoon that this wouldn't happen, that it wouldn't happen. We're talking about a franchise great. Here's Michael Irvin earlier this afternoon, about an hour and a half, 2 hours for the trade.
Michael Parsons, hey, look, you can report all you want. There's no way they're allowing Michael Parsons to go anywhere. All of it, all of this is part of the negotiations.
Yeah, sure, Mike. It's all part of the negotiations, pal. You got to be kidding me. For just now joining, just getting off of work, you're picking the kiddies up from the after-school program. Dude, the Dallas Cowboys have traded star edge rusher Micah Parsons to the Green Bay Packers in exchange for 2 first-round picks and Kenny Clark. And this is what's going to suck about this. Kenny Clark is a fine player, right? Kenny Clark is a game wrecker at the defensive tackle spot, but he's 30, and his best football clearly is behind him. So now we've got to, like, he's going to get dragged through the dirt just naturally because, like, that's the guy that they traded for Michael Parsons. And it's not fair to Kenny Clark because Kenny Clark is a hooper. But damn. All you got was 2 first-round picks. I don't know what I'm more disgusted in. Well, first of all, I'm thrilled, if I'm being honest. That freak show, Michael Parsons, is now out of the division. We'll only have to see him once a year, or once this year, and then once every 4 years from here on out. So I am totally thrilled about that. Cowboys fans, if you're out there, I know you're out there and your skin is crawling right now as you're doing whatever you're doing on this Thursday night. Please call us. 1-800-636-1067. I've never wanted to hear from a Cowboys fan so bad in my life. I am, like, literally scratching and itching to hear from Cowboy fans tonight.
I think from the response I've gotten from my friends that are Cowboys fans, I reached out to some of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, the rationale for them to get over this and say, I don't care, we suck anyway. A direct quote I got from one of my buddies, Cowboys fan, he said, great, we're going from 8 wins to 7.
And that's what's even funnier about this. See, and I mean what I'm saying here. Y'all are a low IQ fan base, talking about the Cowboys. Let's just call a spade, right? Y'all are a low IQ fan base. So, of course, I expect you to react this way. But there are some real Cowboy lifers out there that wear that star loud and proud on their chest, on their hats. They got the flags. They got license plates. You Cowboy fans are nuts. Some of you out there are real ball knowers. Those are who I feel for. Those are the Cowboy fans that I feel for. My brother Jalen Hextall. Brother, I feel for you, man. My brother Kevin Thomas, I feel for you. My aunt and my uncle. My uncle is a diehard Cowboys fan. I've not heard his reaction yet, because I've been on the way to work.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall is back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
But holy cannoli. What felt more unbelievable, this or the Luka trade?
I feel like this felt more inevitable, given the circumstances of this whole... Because I feel
I
like
get
the,
where you're coming
the
from.
The Luka trade
that.
Came out of nowhere.
Right. This was kind of premeditated.
Everyone
I guess.
Said, no way, that's got to be fake. How did the Mavericks just trade Luka? Like, people thought this could happen, and it did. It's just surprising that it actually happened.
1-800-636-1067. I want to get to a couple of folks before we take a time out here. Seriously, Cowboy fans, I'm real live begging to hear from you. There's nobody I want to hear from more right now. Alex in Silver Spring to kick us off here. Alex, did you even believe this when it came across your ticker?
Here we go. Let me tell you, my brother. I'm a Commanders fan, diehard Redskins, all my life and everything else. I ain't going nowhere. So here's the thing. Hold on. Swagoo and Michael Irvin, 2-3 weeks ago, they were like, look, this is what Jerry deserves. For this guy to, for real, to make this move. Now, hold on. Now, let me go a little bit more steps up. Can you imagine Stephen A? Man, what's it?
tomorrow morning.
Come on you.
Tomorrow morning, Stephen. And they're doing an HBCU tour right now. So they're live on somebody's campus tomorrow. I would pay to be there.
Let me tell you something. Look, wait. It gets better. It gets even better. Then... when I seen that, I just texted my nephew. I said, look, they're getting offers. Then he texted me seconds later, they just traded him to Green Bay. I was like,
so your nephew's a Cowboys fan, Alex.
No. Oh, no. We were raised right.
Okay. No, my fault, brother. Hey, my fault, brother. I ain't trying to question how your household running. Okay. You got him steered in the right direction.
Right. So check this out. So then... Let's go a little bit farther. Let me take you back to, way back. All right. The Bengals got the quarterback.
Carson
the
Palmer.
Two wide receivers, right?
For sure.
All right. But I'm not going to compare Burrow with Dak. You already know. But I'm not going to get there. I'm going to leave that alone. But you see what I'm saying? And then Hendrickson was out there. Same thing with Micah. They were able to get... Hendrickson in.
But Hendrickson, the price for, Alex, I appreciate you. The Hendrickson language in the contract, the money, it's not even comparable, I don't think. Micah is getting $47 million per. Our guy Al Catone types in the chat, my brother-in-law is sick. This is what I want to hear. I want to hear from distraught Cowboy fans. Please, 1-800-636-1067. We'll take our first time out when we come back. We'll start to run through these calls. Plus, I'm going to look at what it means for 2025 and beyond for the Washington Commanders. The best pass rusher, the best non-quarterback in the National Football League, no longer in the NFC East. It is a celebration here on The Fan.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall is back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Just getting rolling here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. We're tapped in to the youngest in charge, Noah Willingham, taking you up to 10 o'clock. Number to call us. 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. Breaking news. If you're just getting off of work, if you're just picking up the kids from football practice, if you're on the way to a high school football game, because I know that kicks off tonight in the area as well, we got big news. The Dallas Cowboys have traded Micah Parsons to the Green Bay Packers in exchange for Kenny Clark in a 2026 and 2027 first-round pick. And then Micah Parsons agreeing to a four-year, $188 million contract with the Packers that includes $120 million fully guaranteed at signing, $136 million in total guarantees, making him the highest-paid non-quarterback in NFL history. Some numbers here real quick, because I think based off of some conversation that I've had with folks on social media, you all don't understand just how good Micah Parsons is. This is every player to record 10-plus sacks in each of his first four seasons. Reggie White, Hall of Famer. Derek Thomas, Hall of Famer. Dwight Freeney, Hall of Famer. Only Micah Parsons and Reggie White hit 12-plus sacks in each of those years. This is a dude that gets 12 sacks in his sleep. Death, taxes, and Micah Parsons getting 12 sacks per, at least. He is, to me, the most dominant defender in the National Football League. And I know what folks are going to say, because you all are biased, because he's a Cowboy, so you don't want to really give him his flowers. Brother is nasty. He is a game wrecker. He keeps coordinators up at night. Can rush over all five offensive linemen. Can check running backs, tight ends. Hell, they run him up the seam with the number two slot guy. He's got that type of athleticism. He may arguably be the best athlete in the NFL. He is 260 pounds and moves like a gazelle. I cannot believe. If you're a Cowboys fan out there, I genuinely feel sorry for you. No, I don't. I can't. How can I possibly feel sorry for you? But you pick up what I'm putting down here. This is a trade of epic proportion. Oh, my gosh. Drew and Alexandria. My condolences, brother.
What's going on, my man? I don't need the condolences.
You even sound doom and gloom, brother. Look, go get yourself something nice to eat tonight. Seriously.
Love the show.
Appreciate
Long time listener. Love the network. Hey, I don't see that this trade is going to add or subtract any wins.
Hold on, brother.
Most Cowboy fans are delusional. I consider myself a realist.
Hold on, Drew. You're still mourning. So, like, you're not giving honesty right now. You're grieving.
I'll mourn tomorrow. Okay. I'll mourn tomorrow. Factually, Dak and Lamb have majority of the cap. Micah would have just destroyed our team. That's just factual. Hall of Famer, I wish the best for him and his family, himself. It'll be nice. We had some good times together, but I don't know that we won games or lost games because of him. I've been to many Cowboy games, and he takes some breaks out there. But when he's in there, yes, he's a game wrecker. But I don't know if we're adding or subtracting anything. We won the division most of the times in the last 10 years.
Drew. Are you serious right now?
Listen to me.
Are you serious?
From this Cowboys standpoint, I don't know if we're winning or losing games. It's a competitive division. We got two firsts.
Oh, my God.
Now we can finally stop the run.
With Kenny Clark? Him and Oso Digizuwa are good parents.
I think we're going to be able to stop the run. And from a pass running standpoint, man, I think we're going to be okay.
Good luck setting the edge.
We're not
going to
be able to put up Micah's numbers.
Good luck setting the edge. Good luck setting the edge with Dante Fowler.
No, watch.
Micah Parsons is the only good thing about that organization. Drew, I'm sorry, brother. That's tough. And I pre-warned you all about guys like Drew. Because it is a low IQ fan base. I will continue to say it.
Did he say we usually win the division anyway?
Come on.
There's been a different division winner every year the last, like, 20 years.
I mean, come on.
That's crazy.
The saving grace for the Cowboys is that Dakota Rain Prescott is going to be on the field this year. I think he's a pretty good quarterback. But outside, like, are you kidding? His name was Drew?
Yep.
Drew, brother, I know you're still listening. I'm sorry. This is tough. But I said this earlier, did I not? It's a low IQ fan base, so there are going to be certain members of the fan base that are like Drew. And Drew even claimed to be a high IQ individual. But you let somebody talk long enough, they'll tell you exactly who the hell they are. I mean, good gracious. And I give you, y'all heard how I played him, right? I actually think I did a hell of a job with that. He's grieving. He's mourning. So I let him roll. He's emotional. Let's just say that Washington, we woke up and tomorrow Washington traded Jaden Daniels. How would you react? That is how the Cowboy fans should be reacting right now. This dude is your whole organization. And I get he's a non-quarterback. I totally understand that. But damn. I got Marcus Edelin in the chat says, Uncle Jerry struck again. Dak is a good regular season quarterback, but in the postseason, he sucks. There are numbers to back that up. Marcus, we appreciate you hopping in on the chat. We're going to take another time out here. We're going to try to get back on schedule here. Overtime rolling with you till 10 o'clock here on The Fan. You're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. Get at me, 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet at me as well. It is at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. Hey! You know it's a special occasion when I'm coming back for break with something different. If you know the song, sing along. I feel like I just hit the lottery. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We're celebrating good times here on The Fan. Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys strike again, pulling off one of the most stunning trades in recent memory in the National Football League. Micah Parsons to the Green Bay Packers in exchange for a 2026 in 2027 first-round pick, and they threw Kenny Clark in there as well. I can't believe what's happening. And then Green Bay wasting no time. 4 years, $188 million for old Micah Parsons, making him the highest-paid non-quarterback in NFL history. There are some details leaking out about just how ugly this thing has gotten. Trying to effort right now to get Jane Slater from 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. She has been all over this. She's also a reporter for the NFL Network. This is her tweet from 12 minutes ago. Said, I spoke with Micah Parsons this evening. He says, quote, genuinely gonna miss y'all. He says he and his team went back to the Cowboys about an extension with, quote, empathy when the trade interest was leaked this week. The Cowboys' response, according to Parsons, was this: play on the fifth year or leave. Now, this is the Cowboys' side of things. This is the Cowboys' side of things. Micah told Jane Slater that the Cowboys basically told Micah, you're not getting a new deal, so either play this year out or you're gone. And they made the decision. I can't believe it. It's stunning. It's stunning. And for some folks out there, they don't understand the magnitude of a deal like this. He is, for my money, the best non-quarterback in the National Football League. He has led the NFL in pressures since entering the league. His wins above replacement score is the highest in the NFL amongst non-quarterbacks, further proving my point. And he's missed five games. He's always available. He's missed five games since entering the National Football League. He and Reggie White are the only players in NFL history to record at least 12 sacks in the first four seasons. This is a generational talent, and I know we throw that phrase around all the time. With Micah, it is real. He is all that and more. I would pay, and I'm broke, but I'd pay serious amounts of money if I had it, to be a fly on the wall when Jerry and Steven are talking about this. This is the whole dynamic about Dallas that always geeks me out. This is a father and son going back and forth about football. Y'all go back and forth with y'all peoples about football all the time, but there's no real meaning to it, right? We're all just fans at the end of the day. This is their job. How do you look your son in the face and tell him, well, we're trading him? I want to know. I hope, because it's going to come out. Nothing in Dallas stays under wraps. It is going to come out here in the following days. I already know it. That some big blow-up happened at the Star. There's just no way. That I trust Stephen Jones. Their draft track record has been pretty damn good. Stephen Jones, Will Clay, and company there. they draft pretty well. Like, Mozzie Smith was a bust. But outside of that, like, they hit on picks. So they're smart football people. As I said to start the show, and I'm not trying to be facetious when I say this. Y'all know I go by the youngest in charge, but I'm 27 years of age. I haven't seen as much things happen in sports as y'all have. Have y'all ever seen a football executive go senile on the job? Because that is what legitimately is happening to me.
You know what I wonder? So obviously we had Drew, who I guess is drinking the Cowboys Kool-Aid from a sense.
Well, I don't know what he's drinking. He's not drinking bourbon.
He says it doesn't mean much. But do you wonder if Cowboys fans look at it this way? You know, they had the whole ordeal where he's laying on the trainer's table, disinterested, like a distraction from the team. And then he's always, you know, on his podcast talking about other teams, Jaden Daniels. How many Cowboys fans do you think are out there right now saying, I didn't even want him here. He's always on that damn podcast talking. I don't give a damn that he's gone. I feel like there's a lot of people out there that are probably thinking something like that.
It goes back to what we've been saying. It's not y'all fault either, Cowboys fans. Y'all are a low IQ fan base. Just call it what it is. It just is what it is. But even for y'all, even for the low IQ Cowboy fans out there, you have to understand the magnitude of this. And if you're an older guy out there, have you ever seen a trade like this in the NFL? Because I can't remember one. 1-800-636-1067. Amir is in Ashburn. One to chime in. What's going on, Amir?
Amir. Hey, how are you guys?
How you doing, brother? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm elated. Michael Parsons is no longer in the NFC East. We all should be partying.
Yep. So my thoughts are, what do you guys?
Amir, you got to go. He must be a Cowboys fan. Another low IQ individual. JD is in Ashburn. What's up, JD?
What's up, guys? How you guys doing?
I am elated.
Hey, so I wanted to kind of just talk about the magnitude of the situation.
Yeah.
Obviously, because I agree with you. You said that he's the best defensive player in the NFL. I think it's close between him and Myles Garrett. We got to shout out Myles Garrett.
For sure.
Because he's also special as well. But this has just never happened in the NFL where a 26-year-old in the middle of his prime, this is not – and another thing about the situation I don't think a lot of people are talking about is – This wasn't really a negotiation. It was more so just, hey, Jerry Jones offered him one contract, and then now he's all of a sudden just gone like that. It wasn't even a contract dispute, so I don't even know what to call this. It's just a really bizarre situation.
I think it goes back to what Ben was saying. Like, they were never really motivated to get this done for whatever reason. And it's terrible. Exactly. It's organizational malpractice at its finest. Because think about the pecking order here. How does CeeDee Lamb – I don't give a damn if Micah had 2 years left on his deal. I would have tore it up. He's Micah Parsons. How does CeeDee Lamb get the bag before Micah does?
See, the thing, I think they should have got rid of Dak. I think Dak should have been the first move out of there.
Well,
a lot of people have those opinions about him. I think he's actually a good quarterback and kind of underrated. But for the price tag that he's going for, and considering that I think CeeDee Lamb's the top 3-4 receiver in the league, I think Mike is the best defensive player in the league. You have to prioritize those two players before you go for a top 10 to 15 quarterback who's proven he's not going to get you over the hump. He's not going to be the determining factor that gets you to the Super Bowl.
Dez Bryant just tweeted out an hour ago. I appreciate the call, JD. Have a good night, brother, man. Dez Bryant tweeted out, Arch Manning will have a star on his helmet. No one can tell me different.
This screams to me Jerry Jones trying to throw his weight around and assert what kind of power he wants everyone to know that he has in this negotiation or whatever he thinks is going on. Because he probably hears the noise or people tell him that they overpaid Dak, they overpaid CeeDee or whatever. And you know how Jerry Jones has been about asserting his power over the past couple years.
He's got pride.
Which is, it's gotten increasingly worse for him as he's gotten older. You just think about what happened last year on 105.3 The Fan, where he threatened to fire the radio host over asking him questions about not going and getting Derrick Henry. And this seems like a situation where he says, I'm still in charge here. I'm going to do things my way or the highway. And Parsons said, all right, I'm gone.
This is the classic meme, F around and find out. There you go. Micah Parsons, now a member of the Green Bay Packers. If we're just getting off of work, you're just picking the kiddies up from school or aftercare, we got breaking news here on The Fan. Earlier this afternoon, Micah Parsons sent from Dallas to Green Bay in exchange for two first-round picks and defensive tackle Kenny Clark. As a result of that, Parsons finally getting the money he deserves. 4 years, $188 million, $120 million fully guaranteed at signing, making him the highest non-paid quarterback in National Football League history. I am absolutely stunned. I can't believe what I just read, but it is real. Celebration, though, here on The Fan, because Micah Parsons is now out of the NFC East, and that's something to celebrate. But I want to flip the angle of this a little bit as we roll throughout the show. You can call us at 1-800-636-1067. In lieu of Jerry Jones' awful decision to move on from Micah Parsons, what decision in DC sports history has made you go, what? I'll give you mine next there on The Fan. Is the number. Here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime, you're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham, taking you up to 10 o'clock. Massive, massive breaking news that we got a little bit earlier. Micah Parsons, out of Dallas, now a member of the Green Bay Packers, and he's got a brand new four-year, $188 million contract to go with it, won $120 million, fully guaranteed at signing. Officially the highest paid non-quarterback in the history of the National Football League. And in return, the Cowboys get two first-round picks in Pro Bowl defensive tackle Kenny Clark. I just tuned into 105 through The Fan in Dallas during the break. I mean, people are insufferable. I mean, they're literally crying. There's people probably literally crying on the air right now. I cannot believe this has happened. I think this is probably of my lifetime, 27-year-old. It's probably the stupidest trade in my 27 years of existence. And I'm trying to spin it and give the Cowboys the benefit of the doubt here. Because one way to look at this is to say, well, at least you're not going to have a large percentage of your cap tied up to just three guys, Dak, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons. But damn, we're talking about the best non-quarterback in the NFL. I think he's clearly the best defensive player in the NFL. And it's a guy that is on a gold jacket pace right now. He is 26 years of age. He is in the midst of his prime. The only guy with 12-plus sacks in his first 4 years in the NFL, him and Reggie White, one of the greatest defensive players ever. That's the type of player we're talking about here, man. I cannot wrap my head around this, why Dallas would want to do this. But it got me thinking here, and we'll get your reaction on this and then your answer to this question. In lieu of the stupid Micah Parsons deal, what is a move that has been made in DC sports history that made you go, what the hell? What would have you crying and calling into The Fan if it happened? What has had you, I guess, crying and calling into The Fan when it happened? To me, the worst move that has been made in the history of DC sports in my lifetime wasn't that long ago. And maybe I'm hyperbolizing it, but damn. I know they were able to move off of it, but you almost weren't. Bradley Beal got $250 guaranteed with a no trade clause from Ted Leonsis. And I love Ted. Great guy. Always kind and polite whenever, you know, we've crossed paths a few times. But damn, that is the move that I am putting up there as the Micah Parsons type of situation here in the nation's capital.
I've got a Redskins / Commander move, actually.
Okay.
2019. Fire Bruce Allen is trending all over the place. The fan base is screaming, crying, pleading for Dan Snyder to rid Bruce Allen from the organization. They gave him a promotion. They promoted Bruce Allen.
Bruce Allen did get a promotion.
Amidst everyone begging for him to be fired, they said, all right, we'll do something about Bruce Allen. We'll promote him.
Dude,
that's actually what happened. I could not believe it when that happened. I was kicking and screaming. I was 15 years old. I was throwing stuff around my house. It was the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen in my life. Bruce Allen got a promotion in 2019.
You know what? Since you've taken me down the commit, Teddy Strongbear on the YouTube chat says Albert Hainsworth. Yeah. The Albert Hainsworth one was bad. But the thing about the Albert Hainsworth deal, you traded. I mean, you signed. He was worth the money at the time. Albert was a dog. They just put him. They asked him to do something that he wasn't comfortable with. They brought him here to be a nose tackle. He's been a three tech his whole career. I get why Albert was PO'd. But, damn, Micah Parsons out of Dallas at 26 years of age for two first-round picks and Kenny Clark. And I said this earlier. Kenny Clark is a fine football player, but now he's going to get dragged through the mud because everyone knows he's not Micah Parsons. So I'm talking about our guy Chike Kamara type center. You're talking about overspender letting someone go. I'm talking about the worst moves in the history of DC sports. That's what this has me thinking of. Bradley Beal getting the 250 guaranteed with the no trade clause is up there for me. You know another one? You know another one that really made no sense and was a desperate move, and suddenly we were saved by Adam Peters and Jaden Daniels. But when Ron Rivera was interviewing for this job, first of all, no one wanted the Washington job because no one wanted to work for Daniel Snyder. Ron Rivera went into the meeting and he's talking to his wife Stephanie in the car, probably, baby, I got an interview with the Commanders. We're going to get back into this thing and we're going to get to coaching again. He's probably like, great, Ron. You should go pursue that. That's something that you should do. It's your passion. You love it. Ron goes in the meeting with Dan Snyder. And I can imagine it went something like this. Ron, not only do we want to make you the head coach of the Washington Commanders, we want to give you total autonomy over the organization's decision-making, draft, free agency, etc. Ron probably ran out of the room. Stephanie, you wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe what Dan Snyder offered me. He offered me the keys. He gave me everything.
Well, you see, the thing is, we'll get to draft Emmanuel Forbes.
Well, the thing about it is,
Emmanuel Forbes, I think we're going to have to trade up to get him.
I mean, but here's the thing, too. In the Ron Rivera hiring, I was geeked up about it at the time because that was when we were starving as Washington Commander fans at that point. We were starving.
But we got him fired from Carolina.
That is the crazy part.
We were the team that beat him to get him fired. And we said, that's the guy.
Here's the thing. The Ron Rivera decision to hire him and then give him total autonomy, it's got to be up there. Dude, in his 13-year career as a head coach, he has finished above 500 three times. He has been a head coach. You want to talk about robbing banks? You want to talk about finessing people? Ron Rivera, this is what happens when you're a nice guy, though. He was a nice guy. Three times during his 13-year coaching career did he finish with a record above 500. And we gave him complete autonomy over the organization. Ended up with draft picks like Emmanuel Forbes. Come on, Jahan Dotson, so on and so forth. I want to get to the calls here because you all are loaded up here. Let's get to Sunday in D.C. What's going on, Sunday?
Hey, Nino, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
All right. I think Micah Parsons got what he got. That's what the market value dictates. And to correct you on one thing, Dexter Manley has both sides.
In his first 4 years?
In his first 4 years, the market Parsons. So please stop lowballing my man Dexter.
Hold on, I will look it up because this is. I read this look tweet. This came from the NFL's official account. Dexter Manley, career sacks.
First 4 years.
What moves do you think are comparable here in D.C. sports history in terms of how egregious this Michael Parsons move was?
When they got rid of Champ Bailey.
The Champ Bailey trade? Someone else said that. So, look.
Yeah.
In his first two seasons, Dexter had 6 and then 6.5 sacks. He was the defensive player of the year, or had votes, I believe, for defensive player of the year in 83. But, no, he did not start off his career with 4 sacks or 12 sacks in each of the first 4. Sunday, we appreciate you as always, though, brother. 1-800-636-1067. I think I want to flip the conversation to this. In light of Micah Parsons being shipped out of Dallas for 2 firsts and Kenny Clark, what is the most egregious move or decision from your vantage point in D.C. sports history? 1-800-636-1067. Brian is in Greenbelt. Want to chime in. What's going on, Brian?
What up, Linnell? All right, look here, man. Since 1993, we have had to deal with these fake-ass Dallas Cowboy fans that's never been to Dallas that are DMV Cowboy fans because they wasn't here. I was here, dog. They were not present until 1993. You didn't see this, okay? So we've been dealing with that crap. But the Napoleon of the 90s, Jerry Jones, has had his Waterloo today, dog. He surrendered. He got 2 late firsts and an old-ass D-tackle. Look,
for Micah Parsons,
gonna be 30
Brian,
in October.
For Micah Parsons, that's the part where I can't really even get over it. I don't know what's worse, the decision to trade him or the return. It's got to be the return.
The return and the decision to trade him just seals it that Jerry is done. They're gonna go on a big-time losing streak. We're going to see in 2025 the demise of Jerry Jones and the Cowboys for years to come. And they already started. They've been on the downward spiral.
Look,
but guess what? And we're on the up. This is a historic moment. They have waved the white flag, right? And now we get to watch their faces crumble. The fans, they haven't accepted it yet. They still got a little hope.
Did you hear the call earlier?
Get him some corn liquor. He needs a drink.
Some corn. Hey, you trying to get his ass toe up.
Give some corn.
Appreciate the call as always, man. 1-800-636-1067. I'll go back to the chat here for a second. Our guy, Tony Smith, comes in and says the Chris Webber for Mitch Richmond trade was pretty bad, too. So I get it. I'm not old enough to understand the magnitude of that deal. But I tried to ask Grant about that on the way out. He was like, man, I'm too young for that, too. It's like, damn, is that what y'all feel? Talk to me. 1-800-636-1067. Got a bunch of people in the chat active. What? Wow. Cameron, God bless you, brother. Cameron just said, how did we not say this? The Trent Williams joint, that may take the cake. It may be between Trent Williams and then the Bradley Beal contract. Like those two, it may be comparable.
Is Trent just based on the return? Because
the return for arguably the great dog Trent gonna go down as probably the best left tackle ever. Bro.
No, yeah, for sure.
But I think he's got that type of
ability. It's just the return. It's not because he was never going to play for us again, right? He made that pretty clear.
Well, they could have rectified that situation. Money fixes it all. Ron Rivera, another stupid Ron Rivera move was not kissing Trent Williams' ass. He thought Trent had to prove it. He had to prove it. And that was the thing. Now you're about to get me going on a Ron Rivera tirade. Think about what Ron Rivera was really preaching. And Cameron, I'm glad you brought it up. Think about what Ron was really preaching. He tried to play tough Tony. He tried to play tough Tony with Trent Williams and then let Dwayne Haskins run roughshod pretty much and started him. Maybe that was the owner that came down and did that. God rest Dwayne's soul. Man. Cameron says, God bless you, Linnell. And I'm a 97 guy, so Trent is our best player I saw for you. Me too, brother, man. 100%. 100%. Dog. Oh. We'll go back to the phone. The lines are loaded. If you're getting the busy signal, keep calling us at 1-800. I got to run through some of these. Scott is in Silver Spring. What's up, Scott? Appreciate you holding.
Hey, no problem, Linnell. First of all, God bless Drew and the rest of the Cowboy fans, man. Hey, you got to love them, man. They're so delusional, man. It, it, It's funny to listen to. They can put a good spin on anything, man. And God, I can say this peacefully now, since Daniel Snyder's no longer our owner. Long live Jerry Jones, man. Long live that dude, man.
I just can't wait to see him. He's gonna
be on the sideline with a headset on soon. You watch. He's headed in that direction, man. But as far as bad moves, the Nationals have made so many. Well, I can't even comment on. but the Trent Williams is one I wanted. I mean, Haynesworth, Adam Archuleta. Ron Rivera. Oh my God! Yeah.
No, the Ron Rivera joint is crazy because I almost want to run back what I said. They gave him full autonomy. Oh, Jim Zorn.
Yeah, Jim Zorn. That's you know how that happened. They hired him as the offensive coordinator before they hired the head coach.
I know. I remember. That's when I was first getting hip to what was going on. But I remember.
How do you hire a coordinator before the head coach and say, "Hey, this is going to be your coordinator"? What?
Yeah.
It goes on and on. But man, Micah going to Green Bay is similar to Reggie White going to Green Bay, man. And thank God he's not in our division. But
I know.
I knew he would never end up here.
If we would have went on the air and that trade hadn't happened, I would have said something that would have made a lot of y'all upset. There was nobody outside of Jayden Daniels that I wouldn't have gave up for him.
Oh.
Nobody.
I honestly thought when the Terry stuff was going on after they got the dude from Pittsburgh, Pinkins, yeah, I said, maybe Terry and a couple first rounders from Micah, that might be, something. But whatever. I'm happy to have Terry. I'm happy he's not in the NFC East anymore. And I'm happy that Jerry Jones is alive and kicking, man.
Long live Double J. 1-800-636-1067. When we come back, we'll take more of your calls. Plus, we'll look at another angle of this. In lieu of him getting dealt, Micah Parsons traded from Dallas to Green Bay for 2 firsts and Kenny Clark. In honor of that, what is your vote for the worst decision in DC sports history? We'll run through your calls on that next. This is The Fan. +1 800-636-1067 is the number. You tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_PTP. Somebody just typed in the chat, "This Linnell break graphic kills me." And that was actually from the fans account. So who do you think typed that? Or was it you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, man. Call us at 1-800-636-1067. Look, I honestly can't believe that this is happening. Micah Parsons, now a member of the Green Bay Packers. He was traded from Dallas earlier this afternoon around 5 o'clock Eastern time. 4 years, $188 million contract levied out by the Packers. For their new all-pro pass rusher, $120 million guaranteed fully at signing, highest non-paid quarterback in NFL history. The return for the Dallas Cowboys. 2 first-round picks and Kenny Clark. I don't know if we're ready to move on yet and flip the angle of this, because I told you that there's so much to break down with this. What is worse, the trade? And the return, let me backtrack here for a second. What is worse? The idea of trading Micah Parsons or the return that they got back? Take your calls on that at 1-800-636-1067. Also want to take calls on this. We're going to continue this as we roll into the 8 o'clock hour. In lieu of this stupid trade, because I feel like Jerry Jones, and I'm not trying to play around with people that are actually going to see now. That's nothing to joke about. Like, dementia, ain't nobody playing about nothing like that. Have we ever seen a sports owner, though, a sports executive, genuinely go senile on the job? It was me. That's crazy. But no, like, that to me is what's happening here. Him and Reggie White, the only guys in NFL history to begin their career, the first four seasons, with 12-plus sacks. And you dealt him in his prime. And you got two first-round picks back. In lieu of that, what is the worst decision from your vantage point in D.C. sports history? 1-800-636-1067. Athan is in Annapolis wanting to chime in. What's up, Athan?
All right, so two things. One, the worst decision I've seen made, well, at least in the last 10 years, was the way the Kirk Cousins situation was handled.
Oh, you knew that's a good one.
You knew he wasn't coming back. They could have traded him to San Francisco per Jay Gruden for multiple first-round picks, and because it was the Shanahans, they wouldn't do it, and they ended up getting a compensatory third-round pick. You talk about malpractice and every other name to go with it. That was that was bad. Now, the other thing I'll say is, you know, this kind of reminds me of Al Davis, the way he ran the Raiders into the ground the last 10 years or whatever he was alive. Because here's the thing. The Raiders haven't been relevant in over 20 years. You think we were a dumpster fire. They haven't won their division, Linnell, in over 20 years. So his son has taken over since and ran him into the ground. But this reminds me because Jerry and Al Davis had their footprints all over all this history with the NFL and doing all these great things. And Al Davis ran the Raiders into the ground with firing coaches left and right and doing stupid things with players. And this is the same thing Jerry Jones is doing. Telling a guy like Micah Parsons, who comes back to you with an olive branch and says to you, hey, listen, let's work it out. You know, I basically saying I don't want to leave. And they tell him to stick it. I'm going to enjoy watching the Cowboys go down in flames this year. You talk about dumb of the day. And that needs to be on the Chris Russell show tomorrow.
And you know what's crazy, Athan? I knew you'd find a way to mention the varsity. But
you know what is
crazier, or the craziest thing about all this to me, is the fact that this is a guy at the premium position in the NFL outside of quarterback. Think about what these past, like, it's not like he was asking for something ridiculous. Green Bay gave him 47. Jerry and company were only willing to go to 40. They're cash-strapped in Dallas. That's the other part about all of this. They're poor. That's the only explanation, is that the Cowboys are poor.
Linnell, Micah Parsons is a game wrecker. That's the guy you need to go against Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or Lamar or whoever you're playing.
You know, like,
exactly.
It's crazy.
Exactly. So Dallas is going down in flames, and I'm going to enjoy this and toast a beer to it. I'll have some Kool-Aid just for you, my friend.
Oh, there we go. Appreciate you, as always, man. 1-800-636-1067. Josh has been waiting the longest from Springfield. Josh, what's going on, man? Appreciate you holding. What are you thinking, man? Because clearly, if you've been listening, brother, I'm on one. I'm celebrating. Look, I hope you eat something good tonight. What do you think, man?
Yeah, me too. Training with Micah, and Jane doesn't have to run away from the best defensive player anymore. They'd be more happy than that.
So what do you think is, in lieu of this, the worst decision in D.C. sports history?
I'm pretty young, so from my recollection, I think it got to be the Trent Williams trade.
Trent Williams,
the best left tackle.
Yeah.
Yeah, telling the best left tackle in NFL history to prove himself, you got to be crazy to do that. Hello?
Yeah. What'd you say?
But I might be more concerned about the future, seeing the way that Josh Harris operates, letting guys like Jimmy Butler go, seeing how long the Terry McLaurin trade took. That's got to be concerned. What's going to happen when Jaden wants a new contract? It's going to take forever because he's going to want a boatload more than $96 million.
We're gonna take a quick timeout. When we come back, Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones speaking live from Dallas. We'll have that next here on The Fan. Jerry Jones is talking right now. We're going to play some of this coming up top of the 8 o'clock hour. I said it. How many times have I said this throughout the broadcast? Right? I think Jerry is going senile on the job. Wait till y'all hear this presser. We're rolling on it. We're going to play it coming up top of the 8 o'clock hour because I want to get the rest of your calls in.
So you and I started listening to it 5 or 6 minutes ago. There has not been a single question asked to him. He has just been straight talking for 6 minutes. No one's asked him a single question. He just keeps going. I can't believe
he's talking about run defense. Like, and he keeps calling him. Thank you, bro. Put that coffee down. Just tweet at me and says he keeps calling him Michael. That's the craziest part about it. He keeps calling him Michael. Like, stop it, Jerry. I think he's drunk. I know that's a crazy accusation to make. I think he's drunk. And looking at Stephen Jones. Stephen Jones, if you're watching on the chat, this has been Stephen Jones the entire time. Just watching his father put his foot in his mouth. I cannot believe that this is happening. Nolan Guy in the chat says, Jerry stays drunk. If y'all in the chat, man, turn it on your TV on NFL Network. We're going to play it coming up at 8 o'clock. But this is crazy, young. What do you think Jerry's off of right now? This sounds like Espolon. This sounds like some Reposado to me. Is it dark? It sounds like some Reposado. Because you know how you get that Reposado confidence. This is amazing to me. This is amazing to me, dog.
He's got to be off of perk right now.
I mean, this is crazy.
He's off Percocet.
He has to be. And look at his son, bro. The fact that Steven is just sitting there like, what do you want me to do?
So this is a field day for a ton of America, if you think about it, because nobody is neutral on the Cowboys. People either love them
or you hate them.
Or hate them. So yeah. There are people that are distraught right now, and then there's the other 50% that are celebrating like crazy right now because this is a downright disaster in Dallas.
Alex Gomez in the chat said his son looks confused. No. His son looked like he wanted to whoop his ass. Seriously. I just can't believe this, man. You know what Jerry said? Those draft picks could get us top Pro Bowl players. They're going to be the 28th and 29th pick. Good luck, pal. Some of the quotes are coming out right now from Mike Garofolo. So here we go. Jones has only been asked one question so far. I can't believe this. I think he's drunk. I mean, I think he's drunk. And I'm telling you what I think he's sipping. It sounds like Luna Zoo. If you know about Luna Zoo, you know about Luna Zoo. This sounds like some sort of Reposado. I don't know what alcoholic beverage I want to claim him with. But holy hell, let's go to Marcus in La Plata. What's chiming? What's up, Marcus?
Yo, what's good? What's good, Linnell, man?
I'm relishing
this.
Bro.
I'm loving this. This is such a great day. Long live Jerry Jones.
This presser is golden, bro.
Indeed. I would have to go back to the mid-90s. With regard to ridiculous Washington franchise moves. I don't believe anybody has mentioned at the time they were the Bullets trading Chris Webber to the Sacramento Kings for Mitch Richmond and Otis Thorpe.
Yeah, so someone typed that in the chat earlier. How old are you, Marcus? Because you're probably somebody that was – how old were you when that happened, I guess?
Gosh, man, I was in, you know, I mean, sheesh, I was in my mid-20s, mid-20s.
So you knew what was going on.
I knew what was going on, but still.
Is that worse than, I wanted someone's answer who was older, and it hits different because you've seen more than I've seen. I didn't, as a, and y'all know I'm a diehard Wizards fan. I love the Wizards almost as much as I love the Commanders. I still, as a 27-year-old, probably don't understand the depth of that trade. So the fact that a couple of people have said that, it really is making me scratch my head like, damn. And I know how good Chris Webber was, obviously.
Absolutely. I mean, and over the hill, Otis Thorpe and Mitch Richmond. I mean, Mitch Richmond was a solid, serviceable player in Sacramento who was never going to, I guess, come out of the West and be, you know, that guy. But to trade Chris Webber... To trade Chris Webber, and then we backed up the Brinks truck for Juwan Howard, who was serviceable, but who was never better than
Chris. Teddy Strongbear in the chat says, yes, that Bullets team was stacked with talent at the time and a playoff-caliber team. I know that hurts for Wizards fans because we've been god-awful throughout my entire lifetime. And when you talk about – I don't know if this was a real poll – but I saw a post on Instagram the other day, Marcus, that the Wizards are the worst sports organization in the U.S. right now. That's what someone
so
called
when
the
Wizards. So when you look back at that 95-96 team, that 95-96 team had not only Chris Webber, but Juwan Howard, but also Rasheed Wallace. We also had Rasheed Wallace on that squad. We traded Rasheed to Portland. I believe we got Rod Strickland and maybe Tracy Murray or somebody. But we had Rasheed Wallace, Chris Webber.
Is it comparable to this
Juwan
Howard? Is it comparable to this Micah deal?
I don't believe we ever recovered from that.
Yeah.
I mean, to have all of those front court studs on our squad, to have all that young talent and not know what to do with it.
That's
nah,
tough.
Man.
Marcus, I appreciate you as always. We're up against the clock. 1-800-636-1067. When we come back, we will let you hear from Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. He is speaking right now on NFL Network, as well as Stephen Jones, the COO and co-owner. He also makes big-time decisions there in Dallas, the son of Jerry Jones. He has called him Michael Parsons 8 or 9 times throughout this presser.
Jerry's definitely said words. He said some words. I'll give him that.
He said words. He hadn't said much. We'll let you hear from the owner of the Cowboys next.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.